The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
God's faithfulness to Israel, God's keeping his promises to Israel, sends a message to all believers today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to our Thoroughly Jewish Thursday broadcast. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH. I think my voice is loud and clear, but as I'm looking at my screen for our YouTube and Facebook feed, I don't see anything up there. There we go. All right. Welcome. Welcome. If you're listening on radio, when you have the opportunity, tell a friend to tune in. Maybe they don't know that we're on the air. Encourage your friend to tune in if we've been a blessing to you. If you listen to my podcast, share it with a friend. If you're listening on YouTube or Facebook, go ahead, click like, thumbs up, share, and weigh in as to where you are watching from. 866-34-TRUTH, any Jewish-related question of any kind, 866-348-7884. This week, it just so happened at my last week with the students at Christ for the Nations in Dallas and then at Spiritual Leadership School in Fort Worth. In both places, I've shared about the importance of having God's heart for Israel. I want to be sure that in the 2 years that I'm with these students, and perhaps years beyond that in different relationships and working together, etc., but in the 2 years, there are certain key foundations that I feel are important that I lay. One is just the importance of having our strong foundations in our walk with God, our intimacy with God, a life dedicated to him, the foundation of all foundations, our personal relationship with him. Then second, having an understanding of revival, what revival is, what revival brings, how to cultivate revival as it comes and steward revival. And then a third thing that's very important that I impart to the students is the concept of Jesus' revolution. As Jesus radically changes us, we have a radical effect on the world around us, that we are world changers, not by the world's methods and certainly not by carnal methods, but overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love, overcoming lies with truth. And I also feel it's very important that all of them get a heart for Israel. You say, that's just because you're Jewish. No, no. It's not just because I'm Jewish. It's because Israel's salvation matters to the whole world. Because Paul writes in Romans 11 that if their rejection has meant riches for the Gentiles, so because of Jewish rejection on a national level of the Messiah, because of that, the good news has gone to the whole world, and this all in the providential plan of God. What happens when Israel gets things right? If salvation has come to the whole world, if hundreds of millions of people have been radically born again and saved through Israel getting things wrong, what happens when Israel gets things right? It's literally life from the dead. In other words, the return of the Messiah and the resurrection of the dead. Jesus makes clear that a Jewish Jerusalem must welcome the Messiah back at the end of Matthew 23 after the woes are pronounced on the religious hypocrites, the hypocritical leaders. Peter makes plain in Acts 3 that Jewish repentance will bring the Messiah back. So these are important things in God's sight, but not just because of the future purpose of Israel, that Israel does have a future purpose and plan in God's economy, but also because of history, that God singled out Israel and the Jewish people for a purpose. God singled out Israel with a particular plan, and what he starts, he will finish. And even though the vast majority of Jewish people today do not believe in Jesus and are not following him as the Messiah, even though that is the case, his promises remain. As Paul makes clear in Romans, the 11th chapter, that as far as the gospel is concerned, they're enemies. In other words, the people to whom the covenant promises have come, still called Israel by God, right? They have become enemies for the gospel. And he says it's for your sake. So because of Israel rejecting the good news of the Messiah, it's now gone to the Gentiles. It's for your sake. But he says, as far as election, they are still loved because of the fathers. Now, let me tell you where I'm going on today's broadcast. I want to start emphasizing, laying out how God's promises to Israel and God's faithfulness to Israel can minister to all believers, can minister to the church as a whole. Then I feel on my heart to really pray, not a long prayer, but just to lead us together in prayer for the salvation of Hebrew Israelites, especially the radical, the most radical among them. As God has opened up the door for me to speak to many of them that I never would have spoken to. Of course, many of them hate my guts and call me a white Edomite devil and all that stuff. I don't mind. I'll take the flack and the hatred. That's fine. That's part of our calling in the Messiah. In fact, the more hatred that comes my way, the more encouraged I am that we're on the right track. But I know God wants to save many of them. I know that many, even of the most strident, angry, hate-filled street preachers, they will have radical born-again experiences and will renounce their hatred and will become one with the very people that they have despised in the past. So I want to do that. Oh, and also, I have a direct update from a professor that both Guerrilla Hebrew and myself, we both referenced Guerrilla Hebrew completely messed up what he said and misrepresented it. And I set the record straight in my fact-checking video. But I actually reached out to him to let him know how he was being misrepresented. He actually watched the clip of Guerrilla Hebrew misrepresenting him and wrote back to me. So I'll give you a little update directly from Professor Abramson in a little while as well. But we'll do that, and then the phones will be open for any Jewish-related question of any kind, and I'll give you some updates from within Israel as well. But any Jewish-related question related to the Hebrew language, related to the Hebrew Bible, related to Israel today, related to Messianic prophecy, you name it, if it's Jewish-related, I will gladly take your call today. And those who love to bash me online, you know I give these invitations all the time, and maybe literally one out of 100, nah, maybe one out of 1,000 times people actually take it. If you bash me all the time on social media, every so often I'll see your comments, give me a call. Anybody can sit there and type, but give me a call. Let's bring everything out to the light. So God's promises to Israel should encourage every believer. Because as followers of Jesus, we know that we're not perfect. As followers of Yeshua, we know that we fall short. We know that on our very best day, we still need the mercy and the grace of God. We stand by faith in the grace and goodness of God, even as we seek to please Him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, all of our strength, even as we hate sin and crucify the flesh and say yes to God and no to the world and the flesh and the devil, still there's a battle. Still, there's opposition. Still, there are challenges. And we know we fall short. And through church history, the church has often fallen short. And to this day, we still have scandals and problems and divisions. And yet, our trust is in the faithfulness of God. God's dealings with Israel give us a sense of confidence as well. He who kept His promises to Israel, He who neither slumbers nor sleeps when it comes to protecting Israel and keeping His promises to Israel, how much more will He keep His promises to us that have been purchased through the blood of His Son? So 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 through 11, talk about Israel's past history in terms of judgment, in terms of God being with Israel in the wilderness through the Messiah, Israel's sin, and then judgment coming, and many thousands of Israelites dying in the wilderness as a direct result of judgment. And Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 10:11, these things happen to them as examples. And these are examples for us upon whom the ends of the world have come. So we learn from this. We see, okay, God does deal with sin. God does hate. God does judge sin. Even in our midst, sin is costly. Even for us as believers, as His children, sin can be costly. And Paul warns us And then it says in 10:12, therefore the one who thinks that he stands, take heed lest he falls. And then the word of encouragement, that no temptation will come our way, no test will come our way, but what we're able to bear in God with the temptation or test will make a way of escape. But let's take a look at more promises to Israel. And I want you to receive these spiritually, all right, but not take them from Israel. In my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, I have a whole chapter titled, Thou Shalt Not Steal. Thou shalt not steal. Meaning, enjoy the promises spiritually. Just don't steal them from Israel. Just don't take them from Israel, because they still belong to Israel. Isaiah 54:1, after the death and resurrection of the servants of the Lord prophesied in the 53rd chapter, shout, O barren one, you who bore no child, shout aloud for joy, you who did not travail, for the children of the wife forlorn shall outnumber those of the espoused, said the Lord. Enlarge the site of your tent, extend the size of your dwelling. Do not stint, lengthen the ropes and drive the pegs firm. For you shall spread out to the right and the left. Your offspring shall dispossess nations and shall people the desolate towns. Fear not, you shall not be shamed. Do not cringe, you shall not be disgraced. He shall forget the reproach of your youth and remember no more the shame of your widowhood. For he who made you will espouse you. His name is Lord of hosts. The Holy One of Israel will redeem you. He is called God of all the earth. The Lord has called you back as a wife forlorn and forsaken. Can one cast off the wife of his youth, said your God? For a little while I forsook you. I'm reading from Isaiah 54. For a little while, he says, I forsook you. But with vast love, I will bring you back. So this has happened in our history. It happened with the Babylonian exile. It's happened at other times in our history that we experienced that forsaking, but never being totally put away, never being totally cast off. If anyone tells you God is through with Israel, they're wrong. The promises remain. The gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. The children of Israel are still loved because of the fathers. This is what Paul writes explicitly in Romans 11, 28 and 29, speaking of his own people according to the flesh. In other words, his own race, his own people according to the flesh. In Romans 9, that's what he explains. So this has happened historically. You say, yeah, but when we rejected the Messiah, we were cursed forever. No, the preaching in Acts goes on with the same promises. And that God sent the Messiah first to us to bless us by turning us from our sin. The promises remain. Who is it that scattered us? God. Who is it that brought us back to the land? God. Who is it who will fulfill his covenant and save us? God. For a little while I forsook you, but with vast love I'll bring you back. In slight anger for a moment I hid my face from you, but with kindness and everlasting love I will take you back in love, said the Lord, your Redeemer. For this to me is like the waters of Noah, as I swore that the waters of Noah nevermore would flood the earth. So I swear that I will not be angry with you or rebuke you. For the mountains may move and the hills be shaken, but my loyalty shall never move from you, nor my covenant of friendship be shaken, said the Lord, who takes you back in love. Yes, those are promises for Israel. They remain for Israel. But spiritually, every believer can take comfort. How much more will God be faithful to us and never cast us off forever? We'll be right back.
Chronic inflammation is the greatest health threat to humanity. Infections, injuries, toxins, poor diet, and chronic stress can attack your immune system and lead to chronic inflammation. But now there's a solution you can fight this dangerous silent killer with. Nopalea, made from the superfruit of the Nepal cactus, containing a unique group of bioflavonoids clinically shown to reduce chronic inflammation.
In a random, double-blind, placebo-controlled study, it showed a reduction of elevated, at-risk C-reactive protein levels, resulting in an improvement in range of motion in the back, neck, and joints, and an overall improvement in the quality of life.
Nopalea has helped thousands of people by lowering levels of chronic inflammation.
Let's hear what customers are saying.
I'm a personal trainer and owner of three gyms. Super excited, doing a renovation in here, bringing new equipment in. And as I was bringing the new equipment in, I was trying to move a piece. I moved, the equipment didn't move, and I injured myself severely. So it was frustrating. It was really depressing. I wasn't able to work out. I wasn't able to train. I wasn't able to do just normal daily functions. After taking Nopale, I found that it really helped with my recovery, not only with my severe injury in my back, but it also helped in my recovery of my workouts.
Nopale has helped thousands of people by lowering levels of chronic inflammation.
To place your order, call 800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com. As a new customer introductory offer, use promo code BROWN25 for a 25% discount on your purchase of Nopalea. And 100% of your first order will go to the support of Line of Fire. Go to trivita.com or call 800-771-5584. Again, 800-771-5584.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire. Yeah, I came in prematurely. Jumped in on the Jewish music. All right, thanks, friends, for joining us on Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. Sometimes I get it right, but our guys always have to remind me behind the window not to jump in. Okay, if you have a Jewish-related question, 866-348-7884. So let me go back to this principle of thou shalt not steal. There are many promises that God gave to Israel that were clearly for Israel or for a historic point in time. Like when God told Joshua, every place where your foot treads, I'll give you that land, right? Well, that's not a promise for Israel throughout history that anywhere you go in the world, that's your land. No, there was a promise for the promised land, and as you go in and take that land, it's yours. Well, how many times have you heard Christians apply that, every place our footsteps we're going to take for the gospel? Okay, it is not what Joshua is talking about or what God was telling Joshua. It's not the first application of the text. However, many times spiritually, a scripture will jump at you and encourage you. You're going to plant a church in the inner city with real fear and trepidation because you know it's a difficult area and there's a lot of hostility to the gospel, but God's called you to serve and give your life there. And the Lord says, I'm going to give you the city. As I gave Joshua the city, I'm going to give you the city. It doesn't mean we're going to conquer it. It means we're going to serve it, bring change to it. So, amen. The word can speak to us in 1,000 different ways that are secondary, right? But the primary sense of scripture, you can never steal that away, right? So if God made promises to Israel, like Isaiah 62, that he will establish Jerusalem as the praise of all the earth, the physical city of Jerusalem, and that we are to give him no rest until he establishes Jerusalem as the praise of all the earth, that remains a promise about a physical city to which Yeshua will return at the end of the age. That remains the same. That remains absolutely unchanged. Now, can you say, well, the Lord gave us that promise, you know, for intercession, praying for our own city and to give God no rest until, it's a figure of speech, obviously, but that's the way it's said in Hebrew, Mazkirei Adonai, those who put the Lord in remembrance, God says, give me no rest. Give yourselves no rest, give me no rest until I establish Jerusalem as the praise of all the earth. Well, God showed us to do that for our city and to pray for our city day and night and until many are saved. Well, praise the Lord, do it. But remember, that promise still applies to Israel, still belongs to Israel. 866-34-TRUTH is the number to call. All right, we get lots of wonderful comments on our social media streams. I only see a fraction of them, but we get a ton of them. And thank you for contributing. I've looked at some of them. Earlier in the week, I read comments as to what the resurrection of Jesus means to you. Rich, beautiful, blessed comments that just, I was edified reading them. I loved sharing many of them. But we get the weird and the wacky. And in particular, I would say the number one comments that we actually have to block the person or hide them from the channel because of threats and vile and profane speech, percentage-wise, for some time, the highest have come from Black Hebrew Israelites. The percentage-wise, the most that we've had to block, now we get angry comments and threats from all corners, but the ones who consistently are the most vile and the most threatening and the ugliest. I'm not talking about a disagreement. You differ with me 10 times a day, and your comments will stay on the site. You can say, I think you're wrong on XYZ points. Great, your comments stay on the site. We welcome the discussion. That's just fine. But I don't mean ugly stuff that violates our community guidelines. Whoever it's against, we wouldn't allow it to stand. If it was against Black Hebrew Israelites, we wouldn't allow that to stand either. You know, ugly comments like that. We have to delete those, but those are rare compared to the ones that come in attacking. That just gives me a greater burden to pray for people. But I saw one today. I happened to spot, and this was so classic. Everybody, friends, this will not age well, this comment. I just thought this is so classic. But at the same time, I don't want to mock it because my heart goes out to the person writing it to be so deeply deceived as to post what they post. But this is what we're up against. This will help you understand what we're praying for. And I'm going to read you the comment in a moment and then give you an update from Professor Abramson himself. So here's what's interesting. If I'm holding up, I'm sitting here now and I'm holding up two index fingers, right? And someone says to me, no, you're not holding up two index fingers. You're lying. It's like, okay, well, anyone with working eyes can see it's two index fingers. But there's some people that are so deeply deceived, they're in a cult, they've been brainwashed, they've been indoctrinated, or a particular hatred or ideology is blinding them, that they will literally not believe what you're saying because they have been so programmed to either by others or by the deception of their own hearts. And of course, Satan's going to come in and maximize that. But it burdens me all the more to pray for people like that. It's always painful to see, and it's shocking to see when you say, okay, here, we've got two blocks here. We put the two blocks together with the other blocks. 2 + 2 = 4. Oh, no, man, you're trying to trick me. You're lying. It's like, I hate when I see that, right? And then someone else comes on that they follow, right? Like in this case, like a guerrilla Hebrew who mashes and misrepresents the Bible and its sources, etc. And whatever he says, if I say 2 + 2 = 4 and he says 2 + 2 = 7, they'll say, wow, he was so right and that white Edomite devil was so wrong. So it breaks my heart to see this level of deception. But I also know God's burdening more people. See, by opening up an audience that I wouldn't normally get to, even if they hate my guts and mock me every day, that's fine. That's reproach for the gospel. But it's gotten more people praying. And that's going to bring about fruit. But you gotta hear this comment. I it's one of the more wacky, wild ones. And maybe we could pray for the fellow who, or the individual who posted it, called Humbly Brash. That's the YouTube name. I predict you'll either start deleting videos or taking down your page altogether soon. Perhaps a high-ranking rabbi will demand you stand down. You're really hurting your cause. Guerrilla Hebrew just posted fact-check video of his own and exposed you as such a liar. Your point about reading the intro to the DNA site proves you can determine Jewishness was just ridiculous. Like, just stop already. The jig is up. You're not the Jews. Black people are, and that's that. You are so exposed. So let me repeat, as God continues to bless and expand our YouTube outreach, that comment will not age well, nor will the comment about being, quote, exposed age well. But you say, isn't there a time when you're casting pearls before swine? Isn't there a time when there's no sense doing something because people won't listen, and instead the only result you're going to get is hatred? Absolutely. However, there are times when you have to go into hostile areas where you know up front you're going to be lied about, mocked, misrepresented. Plain sources are going to be misrepresented, turned upside down. You know that's going to happen, but you also know you're going to plant seeds. You also know, as much as people mock you today, that some of them are going to be troubled in their heart in the days ahead. And it also exposes the nature of the tree, meaning Jesus says, you know the tree by the fruit. So when I see a steady fruit of racial hatred, a steady fruit of, if I was looking at the fruit of the Ku Klux Klan and they claim to be Christian, well, they're anything but Christian with hatred like that. When you claim to be true Jews following the Messiah, as the Hebrew Israelites do, and there's the fruit of hatred and bias and bigotry and an ugly anger, you know what's behind that. That's from below. That's not from above. But sometimes we have to expose things, like you hit the hornet's nest, because ultimately you're going to destroy that nest, and in doing so, I'm talking spiritually now, you're going to destroy error. We don't want to destroy people. We want to destroy error and see people set free, see people liberated. And in the days ahead, yeah, race-based hate cults like this on all sides will grow. On the white side, on the black side, on different sides, they'll grow. I understand that. There's race hatred from Jews. That's going to grow. But you're going to see many Hebrew Israelites coming out, getting set free, coming to faith, and some of them will stand on the same street corners where they used to preach hate, and this time preach Jesus, Yeshua. All right, I'll be right back. Hey friends, this is Dr. Michael Brown. I want to invite you to join our support team. Make an investment of $1 a day that will absolutely last forever. You know, the Lord has given us a holy mandate to blanket America with the Line of Fire broadcast. And on a regular basis, we hear from folks writing in, Dr. Brown, I used to be a practicing homosexual. I listened to you. I heard grace and truth together. I was changed. We hear from pastors who say, thank you for speaking with compassion, but giving us backbone and courage. And we know across America, so many believers are getting healthy and strong through listening to the broadcast, through listening to these messages as we tackle the controversies, the most difficult issues of the day. We even hear from former Muslims who've come to faith, from Jewish people who now believe in Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, through this broadcast and our resources. So join our support team. $1 or more per day makes you an official torchbearer. Immediately, you will get access to hundreds of hours of terrific online classes and exclusive video content. Every single month, we'll send you a brand new audio message, and along with it, an insider prayer newsletter where we'll talk about the things that are going to be coming in our ministry and share some of the amazing testimonies of the fruit that you are a part of. And when you do sign up, I want to give you two books as a special gift. First, Compassionate Father, A Consuming Fire. Who is the God of the Old Testament? I take the best of my Hebrew and Old Testament scholarship, wrap it together in this book that you'll find eye-opening, answering many of the questions you have. And then Revolution, my classic book that tells you how to wage war the Jesus way, overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love. We are transformed. We can bring transformation to the nation. So call this number now, 800-538-5275. That's 800-538-5275. Say, I'd like to become a torchbearer, or go to askdrbrown.org. Click on Donate Monthly Support.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thursday on the Line of Fire. I got a neat testimony, just some very gracious words I just saw posted. I want to share those with you in a moment. We'll take your Jewish-related calls shortly. 866-348-7884 is the number to call. So let me just give you a little background for those who haven't followed what's happened. As I've here and there over the years, I've exposed some of the heresy and some of the fictional beliefs of the what were widely called Black Hebrew Israelites. Many just prefer to be called Hebrew Israelites today, but why they call it Black Hebrew Israelites. I've exposed some of the junk, some of the false beliefs there over the years. And I'd often see these hateful comments posted, especially on YouTube, and you're afraid to debate us, you won't debate anybody. So I always said, if a qualified representative steps forth, I'll do it. So when a gentleman stepped forward saying he would do it, under normal circumstances, I wouldn't have done the debate because it's a hate group preaching hateful rhetoric on the streets, etc. And the beliefs are so beyond bizarre. You know, for example, that Mexico is the Mexicans are the lost tribe of Issachar, or the Haitians are the lost tribe of Levi, and things like that. The fact is, there is not a recognized, bona fide historian on the planet, geneticist on the planet, linguist on the planet, archaeologist on the planet, a bona fide, recognized scholar in any of these fields, or biblical scholar for that matter, that would affirm the 12 tribes chart that they have, their tribal identifications, or all African Americans, basically, not every single one, but by and large, African Americans are the tribe of Judah. So it's not even anything to debate. It's when I refer to it as bogus, it's not to be insulting. It's as you got a better chance of Santa Claus coming through your chimney this Christmas than you have of that chart being true. But because I had given that invitation, and because some of the lies, some of the misinformation has sifted out to a larger audience, I thought, well, it's fine to do it. Now, going in, I knew within that camp what the results would be. I fully knew that before it happened. And the platform was going to be on Berean TV. I knew it would be flooded with those supporters. So there was an African-American sister who does apologetics, who was in the chat room before the debate started with hundreds and hundreds of people waiting, and the flood of comments pouring forth that he had demolished me in the debate. We hadn't done the debate yet. So I knew no matter what the outcome was, like, for example, when he couldn't answer question after question in cross-examination, people said, well, he's just chilling because he already won. So whatever, I fully understood that was going to happen on their end. That was a given to me. And I'd be blasted, called a liar, et cetera, et cetera. You know, the counsel, Brown didn't bring any scripture. It's like, actually, the first segment, I either quoted or read 9 different verses or referenced them. But whatever. So it doesn't, truth would have no bearing on anything, right? I fully understood that. Nonetheless, we get to plant seeds. Nonetheless, an audience is open. In other words, the gentleman I was debating wanted to reinforce certain things among his people. He didn't want to talk theology. He didn't want to talk to a primarily white audience. He wanted to be the champion that took on this guy that he touted to be this great scholar, etc., and win this victory for his audience. So that was his strategy. I fully knew what I was getting into, but now I get to reach people, and a month from now, a year from now, the deceased planet God can use to open hearts and minds. So what's interesting, though, is after the debate, when I started to review a couple of things, I was shocked with the degree of misrepresentation of sources and misuse of sources. I've done many, 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 many debates, and I knew a lot of the stuff, the scripture interpretation, other things were completely bogus. Some of the historical references were completely bogus. I couldn't respond to everything in the rebuttals because he giving new information, like even in his closing statement, stuff I couldn't respond to, he kept adding in. But I responded to as much as I could. But I thought, wow, this is so poorly done, so deceptive, that I'm going to take the time to do a fact check video, right? So I was bothered on a professional level for Professor Henry Abramson, who is quoted. In my fact check, I had a typo calling him Harry. So Professor Henry Abramson, that here he is, a great scholar, and according to Guerrilla Hebrew, he is a respected man who is very, very credible, all right? Guerrilla Hebrew's own words, he spoke very highly of him, referenced me speaking highly of him, but said he's very credible, okay? So I just shot him an email saying, Professor, I just want you to be aware that your position is being grossly misrepresented. Here's a clip of this gentleman, and I'm only letting you know because a lot of people watched the video, and you were completely misrepresented on it, all right? So he wrote back to me, And I want to read to you what he wrote to me. All right. This was April 10th. Thanks. Hello, Dr. Brown. Thanks for the kind update. And I've got it on my screen. I blotted out his email, but we've got it blotted out so you don't see anything on the screen. But it was April 10th, 2023, 7:42 p.m. Hello, Dr. Brown. Thanks for the kind update. I appreciate the scholarly and collegial consideration. A few months ago, someone sent me a video with similar content. I think it was the same speaker, not sure. But the error was so ridiculous. This is Professor Abramson having watched the video of Gorilla Hebrew, okay? Gorilla Hebrew claiming he was rightly representing this professor. The error was so ridiculous that it seemed absurd to even counter it. He conflated the Colonimus family of the 8th century with the father of Unculus, also apparently named Colonimus, who lived some 6 centuries earlier. So he calls one of his big arguments that I think he'll probably be reinforcing for many years, and his followers will be saying the same ridiculous trash for years, okay? That, so conflated, he mixed up, he put together a family who lived 600 years apart because they had similar names. Think of that. Think of how crazy that is. People live 600 years apart, and you make them all relatives because they have this same first name. That'd be finding someone named Michael 600 years ago and say, well, that ties in with Michael Brown. That crazy. Notice he calls it ridiculous and too absurd to even counter. Look at this. I have a regular flow of similar assertions in the comment boxes of my videos, sometimes silly, sometimes ignorant, and sometimes hateful, occasionally all three. My experience teaches that responding simply promotes more intellectual sewage. He calls the position of Gorilla Hebrew and his followers intellectual sewage. This is Professor Abramson. I'm reading it verbatim. So I restrict myself to blocking and reporting when they are hateful. Thanks for posting the fact check, though. Wish you much success in the physical and the spiritual realms. I told them I was a Jewish follower of Jesus. Full disclosure, I wasn't a traditional Jew, because he's a traditional Jew. And then he emailed me again, and he said, I just watched your fact check video. I see that you found the same ridiculous errors. I laughed out loud at the Abraham of Lincoln Avenue example. So I explained my dad was Abram. We lived on Lincoln Avenue. I guess my dad's connected to Abe Lincoln. That's the same way you make this connection with the Colonimus family. He laughed out loud at that and said, I found the same ridiculous error. So for anybody who is even mildly interested in the truth, I told you what Professor Abramson really said, supporting my views about the DNA background, the Middle Eastern background of Ashkenazi Jews, and exposed the lies and misrepresentation of Gorilla Hebrew. Lies if he knew he was speaking falsely, misrepresentation if he was that deceived. In other words, able to understand the English words that he was reading. We understand. We know he doesn't understand Hebrew. That's a given. When you don't know in the Old Testament that chief priest and high priest are the same thing, you may not want to call yourself a chief priest. When you can't even say chief priest correctly in Hebrew, you may not want to call yourself a chief priest. Those are just little asides. But Professor Abramson is telling you that Gorilla Hebrew made ridiculous errors in presenting his material and calls it intellectual sewage. And he doesn't even bother responding on his YouTube channel because it just brings more intellectual sewage against him. So forget taking my word. You're going to take Professor Abramson's word or not? Just speaking the truth. All right, so I want to pray for Hebrew Israelites. I may not mention them for months on the air. It's not my focus. I've addressed a couple of things in the aftermath of the debate, just as I did a reflection on the video, the debate with Zakir Hussain, Muslim apologist, and now my friend Zakir Hussain. I may at some point do a whole presentation, really break it down systematically and absolutely demolish for anyone even wanting anything near the truth, demolish the myth of the 12 tribes chart. But otherwise, this is You flood me with hateful comments day and night. We'll pray for you. But I do, just before I move on to other subjects, and because Professor Abramson's stuff was fresh in my mind, I just got it this week. Would you agree with me in prayer? Father, we pray for these Hebrew Israelites, for the Sicarii sect, and for others. Lord, just as you opened our eyes when we were blind, just as you had mercy on us when we were full of hate, just as you forgave us through the cross when we turned asking for mercy, I ask you for mercy. Lord, I don't curse them. I ask for your blessing of salvation and transformation. Lord, I don't wish evil on them. I wish for their repentance. Lord, I pray that the hate will turn to love, that the animosity will turn to devotion, that the false beliefs will turn to true as they humble themselves before you, recognize their sins, and ask for your mercy. We confess that being black or white or Jew or Gentile or red or yellow or whoever or whatever, that doesn't save us. What saves us is faith in Yeshua Jesus, who died for us. Grant them repentance, Lord. Grant them a true faith of transformation. Lord, their leaders, those that are involved in other ways, those who are new, those who've been with them for years, expose the error, shake things out that people will see clearly, and may they run to you for refuge. And where they've been hurt, where they've been hurt by white Americans, where they've been hurt by white Jewish Americans, where they've been hurt by others that's caused this bitterness and anger, Lord, may they find healing and forgiveness and redemption through your Son. We ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name, in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. Thanks for praying, agreeing with me. All right, we'll be right back. We come back, we will go right to your phones, right to your calls. So as soon as we come back, we go to your call.
Nopalea has helped thousands of people by lowering levels of chronic inflammation.
I really enjoy being physical. It's something I've just always loved, but I've definitely had times where it's really crippled me up. Being a horse trainer can be pretty physically demanding with all the duties that I have, not just riding horses for a living, saddling horses, caring for the horses. I feel like Nopalea just took the edge off, and then it's continued to keep me from getting sore. Nopalea, it's been a huge blessing.
Now there's a solution by lowering levels of chronic inflammation. Nopalea, made from the superfruit of the Nepal cactus, containing a unique group of bioflavonoids clinically shown to reduce chronic inflammation.
In a random, double-blind, placebo-controlled study, it showed a reduction of elevated at-risk C-reactive protein levels, resulting in an improvement in range of motion in the back, neck, and joints, and an overall improvement in the quality of life.
It's fun to be on the golf course again. I'm able to swing the club freely. Hopefully, I'm hitting better golf shots. Nopalea has allowed me to get back on the golf course, enjoy the game that I love, and maybe even give me that little edge to beat my friends at the game.
Nopalea has helped thousands of people by lowering levels of chronic inflammation.
To place your order, call 800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com. As a new customer introductory offer, use promo code BROWN25 for a 25% discount on your purchase of Nopalea. And 100% of your first order will go to the support of Line of Fire. Go to trivita.com or call 800-771-5584. Again, 800-771-5584.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the line of fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. And at last, we go to the phone, starting with Mark in North Carolina. Welcome to the Line of Fire. Thanks for holding.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. You're talking on the phone, not on your speakerphone or Bluetooth, right?
No, it's just not on the speaker.
Okay. Yeah, I can hear you okay.
I don't think two brothers, Christ. Don't realize that they're truly believers in the cloud. I don't blame you for defending yourself because I agree with what you're saying. But what I have noticed over the past few years is people are becoming worshipers rather than God worshipers. And I don't mean anything, I'm not getting to my question about the Jews. Ezekiel 37:11, the whole house of Israel, I think that's all of us, all believers. How would you address that?
And actually, Mark, I'm just going to have to try to respond because I'm hearing some feedback, which means our echo, which is a little rough on our listeners. So forgive me. I'm just going to have to respond without the follow up. No, the whole house of Israel is all 12 tribes. It's the southern kingdom and the northern kingdom. The whole house of Israel in Scripture is never Gentiles. Never a single time does it refer to Gentiles. When it comes to, you know, the gentleman I debated, he's not a brother. He's part of a hate-filled cult who does not believe the saving gospel and holds to an unbiblical theology. When I debate a brother, yeah, we're brothers in the Lord. We can have differences. And you and I can differ over this point. That's the whole house of Israel in Scripture is Israel. It's national Israel turning to the Lord. Now, we would agree that there are remnants of lost tribes in different parts of the world that have been lost. Will God restore them? We can also rule out, like, okay, the Mexicans are not a tribe of Issachar. We can rule certain things out. That's, you know, easily done. There'll be a restoration. But a lot of that's happening in Israel today. If you go there, there are Jews from all around the world. And there are Jews from communities that were hidden from different parts of the world that have been rediscovered and brought back that are there in the land. And then as all these people turn and embrace Jesus Yeshua, then for sure, that's the salvation of the whole house of Israel that's promised. And you'll notice, like Isaiah 19 promises, blessing on Israel along with Egypt and Assyria. So Egypt and Assyria don't become Israel, but they are blessed along with Israel. Or the nations bringing tribute into Israel as they worship the God of Israel, they don't become Israel. When Paul writes to the Gentile believers in Rome, he calls them Gentiles and calls on them to provoke Israel to envy. He doesn't call them Israel. So I would say that as far as, quote, Jew worship, yes, sometimes there can be an overemphasis on Israel or Jewish things. You know, right now there's some strife in Israel and with the strongest right-leaning government Israel's had, you know, more international criticism. But it doesn't mean everything Israel does is right or good or perfect. But we must remember that God's promises to those physical people remain. The one who scattered them is the one who's kept them. We gather them. When I say them, it includes me as well. And we honor and respect that. But Jewish people need Jesus like everybody else. Jewish people are lost without Jesus like everybody else. Jewish people sin like everybody else. And we need mercy through the gospel. Hey, thank you, sir, for the call. Let's go over to Rodney in Smoky Mountains, Tennessee. Welcome to the Line of Fire. Are you there? All right, that's odd. We somehow lost Rodney, who was there a moment ago. So, when it comes to differences within the body, you know, we can have differences about the end times and we still fellowship together. We can have differences over Calvinism and Arminianism and still fellowship together. We can have differences over other issues that are not issues of salvation. Hey, for example, let's say I've got a friend who's a saved Catholic, as saved as I am, right? Obviously, I don't agree with aspects of Catholicism, of course. And he believes the apocryphal books are part of the Bible. That doesn't damn him to hell, nor from his perspective should it damn me to hell that I don't believe they're part of the Bible, right? So, I mean, that's a pretty big issue, but it's ultimately not a salvation issue. So there are a lot of things that we make into salvation issues that are not salvation issues. So I want to go down to the basics and find out, okay, what do you believe about this and this and this and this and this? Do you believe that we've all sinned and we're guilty in God's sight and we deserve his eternal judgment? Okay. Do you believe that Jesus, the Son of God, the divine Word made flesh, eternal God in the flesh, that he took on human form, he died for our sins, and he rose from the dead? Do you believe that? Yeah, okay. Do you believe there's salvation only through him? Yes. Do you believe the Bible is God's word, God's infallible word? Yes. And you know, a few basic questions like that. Have you put your faith in that Jesus to save you and forgive you? And are you experiencing new life in the Lord? If all that checks out, and as far as I can tell, that person is giving a true confession of faith, I welcome that person as a brother or as a sister. We may have our differences on many other points. We may have our differences on things that we're passionate about. But if that person's in the Lord, I'm going to be with them forever. They're going to be with me forever. And I can assure you by God's grace, I know where I'm going to be forever with the Lord in his presence, enjoying his beauty forever and ever and ever, and all by his grace. And the only boasting on that day will be the grace of God and the goodness of God and the love of God. That's it. That's it. I mean, it's very simple. That's it. And there are going to be people there I'll be thrilled to see, surprised to see, and others, what? Just like people would be surprised to see me there, right? You know, the old saying, heaven will be at one and the same time, a great eye opener and a great mouth closer. That's reality. But that's the beauty of the gospel, that he saves and forgives. And that's why I truly believe, when I was with some intercessory friends and they said, God's really burdened us to pray for these Hebrew Israelites, I thought, awesome. I'll take the hatred, the scorn, the mockery, the lies, the attacks, even the threats. Last threat that I happened to notice on our YouTube channel was earlier today. You know, ugly stuff about what's coming our way, etc. So that tells you, man, that's an evil heart. That's a sinful heart. That's a lost heart. That's a heart that hasn't been regenerated. But people are praying, and this will be a fruit. Even to find out this four-hour refutation. Okay, great, so lie about me, but let's talk about things, because more people ultimately get led to the truth once they dig in for themselves, once they think for themselves, and once they realize the nature of what's being put forward. So the gospel will triumph. The gospel will triumph. Hey, let me encourage you, friends. I want to welcome all of our new torchbearers, those that have signed up in the month of April. Thank you for standing with us. But I want to give you my invitation. Have we been a blessing to you over the years? Have we helped you, encouraged you, strengthened you? I just saw this posted on our Facebook page. What kind words, DMB, Dr. Michael Brown. You've been the most courageous in bringing up all the subjects that no one else wants to talk about. You're a watchman on the wall, and I would also call you a whistleblower in being a witness to what you see in the world today. Overall, God bless you, 3 exclamation points. That's why we're here, friends. We're here to be your voice. We're here to speak grace with truth. We're here to tackle the tough subjects, but to do it in a way that we glorify Jesus and we set an example and give you the tools to help you stand strong where you are. And I'm so blessed by the many kind words we receive and the prayer support that we have. I want to invite you, if we've been a blessing to you, Galatians 6, let him who's taught in the word share all good things with his teacher. If you're from a home congregation, you tie there, we bless that. But would you consider becoming a torchbearer? Would you do that today? Maybe even thinking about it, $1 or more per day makes you a torchbearer. You get free access to some of our best online classes. You get 2 books sent to you immediately as a gift, Compassion Father, Consuming Fire, Who is the God of the Old Testament? You'll find it's a beautiful little hardcover. You'll find it to be a super eye-opening read. And then Revolution, This is the call of the wage war, the Jesus way. Oh, yeah, our lives transform, laying our lives down for a dying and lost world. Every month, we'll send you a new audio message, give you access to exclusive video content. See, it's our ethic to make massive amount of material free online to everyone, and then to say a special thank you for those who give and support. So go to our website, askdrbrown.org, the best dollar investment you've ever made. You say, Dr. Brown, are you promising me if I do this, I'll have a new Ferrari in my driveway tomorrow? Nope. But I'm promising you, you'll get to share in transforming many, many lives. You'll get to share in helping spark revival in the church. You get to share in helping spark a gospel-based moral and cultural revolution. You get to share in helping to see Jewish people come to faith, and you'll get the heavenly reward along with us and many other blessings in this world. So go to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown, click on Donate Monthly Support, join our support team. If you give more than that, wonderful. Every dime is used to reach more people, to get the message out, to get more free materials out, to get our books and materials out in Hebrew in Israel, to spread the message of the gospel around the world, and to be on these great airwaves. It costs a lot to be on the air, and we so appreciate those that have welcomed us onto the broadcast, and we have a great vision to spread this message around the nation. We'll do it together with your help and support. So ask Dr. Brown. .org, donate monthly support. May the blessing and the smile of the Lord be on each of you listening, watching today. May you draw near to Him and find that He has already drawn near to you. May He give you the holy desires of your heart as you seek Him first. Back with you tomorrow.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.